Good morning, beautiful Saturday morning. It's actually a hot Saturday morning. I feel hot already. Someone told me winter is over and I'm not a summer person. Honestly, I'm not a summer person. I'm a very winter person. I like those when it's cozy and you can, you know, you can sleep, you can work. During summer, it's so hot, and especially at this part of the world, you know, it's absolutely burning, you know, your hell. If there is a hell, I think, you know, we suffered hell. We already suffered hell here on earth, man. This kind of heat, I think it done good already. So when you go, when you die, you should have, you know, you saved the hell already. A very good morning to you. It's a Saturday morning and a beautiful conversation there. Beautiful conversation there on Associate Times, Hileni and Benedicta. So, yeah, welcome. It's 11 minutes past the, 11. 11 minutes past 11. All right. So, welcome to Eagle FM. And now you are also welcome to Mind Matters. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli, and this is the show where we explore the fascinating, sometimes frustrating also, you know, but always powerful working of the human mind. So that's what we do here. And this is Mind Matter, the programs where we explore, you know, we explore those psychological patterns and social factors that affect how you think, how you feel, and how you make choices in life, how you behave. So that's what we do here. We go in those little nuances and, you know, aspect that how your mind process things, you know. So that's what we do here. And today is no difference. And we actually, today what we're going to continue, we had a topic last week that we were discussing and we didn't finish. We didn't finish all the aspect that we wanted to cover. Luckily enough, we also had Tati Franz on the show. What we were talking about, the topic that we were really discussing is how do event, and it's also related to some of the aspect that we're coming out of the Social Times discussion as well. So is how do events and challenges, or just life itself, how do events, challenges, or just life itself push a person, you know, to the point where they feel that it is no longer worth living, where they feel that their life is no longer worth living, to the point where they want to take their own lives, where they want to end their own lives. All right. And as I said, last week we had Franz, and he was actually giving us a practical experience of what he went through himself. So of what he went through, and the good enough, the things that we're looking at the process of how the person think, you know, how do the person think, how do they perceive the perception and the interpretation of their reality where they found themselves. And he realized that, you know, certain things that he were thinking were not true, you know, or certain perception were actually based on probably the situation you found yourself in, and thinking differently would, at the end, you look back and said, well, you know, thank God that I saw it in that way rather than in this way. So these people were telling me I'm this and this and that, and then, you know, I didn't believe that, and that changes who I am now, you know. So there are certain perspectives that we have based on our environment, and based on how we were brought up, based on the experience that we went through, and all that make up the belief system that becomes a foundation of how we behave and of how we think. So, and that's why we went through and looking at that. People could experience the same event, could be experiencing the same thing, you know. So you break up in a relationship. They were talking about relationship in social times. So let's say, for example, you know, you are dumped, you know, breaking up, a relation broke up. So one person actually looked at that and said, wow, I didn't like him anyway. So, you know, there are many other men or women out there. So I can go on and get even a better one. You see, that's an interpretation. And what does that interpretation do? It gives this person a different way of looking at life. And therefore, they may not be even depressed about the situation. And they may actually, you know, kind of like, I need to move on. So, but there's someone who look at that, what did I do? Was I not good enough? And, you know, that is a different interpretation. So I'm a failure. Maybe I didn't do this. You have all this. Maybe I am the fault. I am the one. And then what happened? You become depressed. You become thinking, I'm useless. I can't even keep a relationship now. This is the third one. I'm being dumped. You know, what is wrong with me? So what does that interpretation do? And that interpretation is coming, as I said, coming from your experience, coming from your how your environment, how you have experienced life as you're growing up and as a grown-up as well. So all that determine actually how then we think and how we behave and how we feel. So, and that lead us to the principle. Last week, then we talked about the first principle. I have three principle that becomes our guidelines in terms of how do we deal with the topic that we're talking about. So one is that, and that's what we looked at last time, that the way we feel is largely our own doing. So that's what we do. That's the first principle. So that the way we feel is not largely, you know, it's largely our own doing. It's from our own interpretation of that reality. So that's what actually create the kind of emotion that we, you know, the world outside or the external factors are triggers to how we choose to feel. All right? Are triggers to how we choose to feel, but, you know, how we respond to what is happening to us is actually largely our own doing. So we looked at that. Maybe I can just browse through it so that we, you know, build up what's coming, the second principle. So the second principle is our emotional response, and which we're going to look at more. Our emotional response are shaped by our conditioning. Okay? That's what we're going to go into today. So our emotional response are shaped by our conditioning. So what is conditioning us? What has conditioned us? So there are a number of things, okay? As we say, the very same thing, the way you brought up. So there were certain, you were made to believe, if you are a Catholic and you are this one, if you are a Christian and the other one is a Muslim, that's already a conditioning. You think differently on certain aspect than when you're a Muslim. If you are an Oshwambo speaking and or you are a Herero, so they are already culturally, there are certain things your attitude towards those things are totally different in the way how you approach those things, in the way how you approach and the way how you think about them is totally different. So because your culture, your cultural approach to that is quite totally different. All right. So that's in itself, it's already it's a conditioning. All right. So the way you behave professionally, there are also some conditioning. Yeah? You wouldn't come to, an interview just wearing, you know, your whatever. So what do you go? Wearing something shabby? It's you already conditioned that, you know, to have a better, for people to think that you are this professional and whatever, you dress in a certain way. Probably you polish up your namlish a little bit. You don't just go and speak namlish in the interview. You polish it up a little bit. So it's a conditioning, you know, to affect what is required or what is seen to be acceptable. Do you understand? It's a conditioning. So, but then we want then to link that also to that. The way you think in terms of now thinking about a certain event that lead you to wanting to end your life, or thinking that your life is worthless, it's not worth living. It's also a conditioning, because you're interpreting that based on whatever, either on your culture or what people say or whatever the case may be. So we're going to looking at some of those. All right. So make sure that you stay tuned. And if we have time, and probably we're going to do have time, because I want to finish this at least Saturday, this Saturday. So then that's going to lead us into our third principle, that your emotional response is 100% in your control. If there's anything really that is 100% in your control, it's how you feel. So your response to any event, how your emotional response to any event, is 100% in your control. You can choose how to feel. Well, you're probably asking, really? Can I choose how to feel? Well, you might be conditioned in a way that you don't even think anymore. You just act automatically. So, like, for example, I'm just giving you so that you know what we're going to talk about. Like, for example, your culture might have taught you, and I like this example quite often. Your culture might have taught you that, you know, if someone says something about your mother, that's the worstest insult ever. You understand? So, now, what happened? You develop, if it's something worse ever, you have also attached emotion to something that is bad. Sure, because that you also attach emotion to that, isn't it? So immediately someone says something about your mother, what happened? You don't think about it, and because you're already programmed, you know, to think that is bad, and all what you need to do, you know, fight. So you don't think about it anymore. So you, first of all, you are conditioned, and then now your reaction is not 100% in your, it's, that's where you maybe think it's no longer in your control. But it is, because you're programmed. All right, so we're going to look at that as we go on. So that's what you can expect. That where we are going on. So then why are we doing this? All right. So we are doing this because we see there's a lot of this. There's a lot what is happening in our society today. We see brutal murder of people. We see people taking their own life. So there is something, there is a crisis. There is emotional crisis, if we want to say that. There is emotional crisis, something that we, and I'm saying this, as many of African, as many of us African, so we don't say that the white people don't kill themselves. So, but statistically, it's also that the whites are not more than the blacks anyway. So, but what I'm trying to say is that traditionally, we aren't really people who are encouraged to feel, you know. Well, we are encouraged to feel if the feeling is good. Yeah. So, but we are, when you grew up, most of us, when we grew up, you know, say for example, you're crying. Otokwena. Tokwena. And the animal in the kudengi. So, mwenanokuri. Tokwena. So you, you are beaten up, you feel the pain, but you are not allowed to express that pain. Naturally, your body wants to express that pain, okay? But you are actually told, no, suck it up. Suck it up. You understand? So, suck it up. So, and it doesn't mean, okay, we also have to understand it that. So there are now some people actually think that, no, we are damaged because we're never really expressed. We're not really allowed to express our, not really, but in some way that create resilience in person. But also, it has also some disadvantage. There are certain situations where you need actually to bring out this emotion, where you need to express these emotions, you know. So, because if you don't, it has some, it would have some consequences, as we, as we're probably going to see, you know, as we go on. So that's also, I'm also giving you, I'm giving you a context in what, why are we discussing this? It's not just purely just a matter of we're discussing this because we're looking at what is going on in our society, and we want, and the reason of here, my focus here really is to help you understand the process in your mind. How does your mind work? How do you think? You know, so not everything that you think is true. Not every thought is true. It's real. And not every thought is real. All right? So, and that's what we want now to look at. And how do you develop those thoughts? They may be real to you, but are they real, real in reality? Okay? So, that's what we're trying to help you to understand. All right. So let's what we can do now. Let's just quickly probably have some. Let's have some music break, and when we come back, we get into this. Bob Marley and the Wailers. You know, the Three Little Birds. Oh. Welcome back, and a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Mind Matter, the time between 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock is the time we call a mental health hours. So on these hours, you are also welcome to come through at any time, because this is a platform we created for you. If you find yourself probably having a questions of something that you are going through and you may need help to explore that, let me put it that way. You may need a time, actually, you just have a question, you are going through some kind of emotional distress and you don't know how to handle that, or you don't know what to do, or you are also thinking you have some suicidal thoughts. Maybe you're thinking of, my life is not worth living. And you have some suicidal thoughts. You also, you don't need to speak to me directly in terms of, you can, that this is what I'm going through, and we can talk about that as well. So I'm a professional, you know, counselor, and I'm a behavior analyst. So we can be able to talk about that. So, and also speak it in general in the way that would, you know, not directly to your situation. And if it's something that is so personal, too personal, we can always refer you to someone, to people that you can be able to see or talk to. Or call me later and we can discuss more to be able to help you. Yeah. But if you have questions, maybe you see some other things that, you know, people that you know that are going through and you don't know how to help, you're mostly welcome to call as well and just or want to discuss something that you see that is happening and you don't know how, or you don't know how to deal with it or handle it. So all this is welcome on the show. That's the platform that we create for you to be able to do. So come through anytime, at any point, when even if we're discussing something totally different to what you want to ask, especially if it has to do with your mental well-being, your emotional well-being. So you are most welcome at any time. So it's Mind Matters. So that's the point. All right. So, yes. Okay. Welcome back. And as I said, yesterday, last week, we had really 30 friends who helped us to understand this practically. And the first principle that we were looking at, and as I said, we are looking at that in terms of, okay, I want you to understand the process. So we're looking at this in terms of, there are events that happen in our life, you know, things that happen into our life, either events or situations or, you know, so many things, or life itself, okay? Let's just say life itself. You know, most of the time we look at those things and think that we are victim of life, right? So this is what is happening to me. I'm a victim of life. So you see that? I'm a victim of life. It's an interpretation. It's an interpretation of what is happening to you. You now interpret yourself to be the victim. So if you're the victim, once you tell yourself you're a victim, every cell in your body will act in that way. You understand? Every cell in your body would, your body physically would show it in the way how you behave, how you just feel. You start to feel like a victim, you know? So your mind would now start working to manifest that aspect in your life, that interpretation in your life. So now everything that you see, you started to see that, you see? That's why you see what people say? Any person who says something to you, you're already thinking, you see? You see that he's telling me that I'm not, maybe at work, your boss tells you, know, this, maybe I present here, and so my boss told me, you did this as a show, this is actually, you shouldn't do that. Then you pick it up already because you have an interpretation that you're a victim, that the world is against you. Whenever somebody say, look, even if it was genuinely true, you started, you see? people don't like me. So now, that's how your mind would work. Your mind would help you to manifest what you focus on, your interpretation of reality. You understand? You must remember that. So, and that's where we said, the way we feel is largely our own doing. That's what's the first principle. And we look at certain trait. All right? We look at now a certain trait. Those certain trait is that your perception is your reality. How you perceive the world, that becomes your reality. Your focus become your reality. So, and if you say, if you're thinking I'm a failure, then you become a failure. So because the difference is that your mind doesn't have this idea of this is good, this is bad. When you say you are a failure, your mind doesn't think, your conscious mind thinks, okay, it knows that when I'm saying failure, that's bad. So, but you know, your subconscious, that 95% that actually try to bring into light what you're thinking, it doesn't have that kind of distinction, good or bad. And this is what manifests whatever you think of yourself. Consciously, you think I'm a failure, and what your subconscious would do? Okay, let me go through your library. Let me go through your file and bring out what actually manifests what you're thinking you are. That's what normally does. So now, even when you're not thinking, your subconscious is thinking. So it's trying now to bring out those aspects. Okay? So you have gone through, you now created some beliefs in your life. You have gone through past experience that shaped how you interpret reality. So, and then it goes now looking for that. And that's how now trying to, and that's how now you become, you go from just feeling I'm a failure, just saying it. Yeah. You go from saying I'm a failure to actually a point where you're feeling you are a failure. You are depressed. You think there's nothing I can do anymore. So that's how, because your mind, it does over time now, it's looking for those aspects in your life that you failed and magnify that one. And then you start to feel, you see, there was this time I didn't succeed. There was this interview I went to, I didn't succeed. There was this person who called me, I'm useless. There was this. You see, now it magnify the aspect that can bring out that manifestation of what you're calling yourself now. All right? So remember now, when now you start to think, nobody loves me, my life is not worth living. So what does that, that's what you're going to do? It goes back to those beliefs and past experience that shaped how you interpret that. So that shaped, now that can manifest what you are saying now. So what is the stories that you're telling yourself about that specific event? You know? So, and that is what create the emotions. All right? So that one as the trait, okay? The other trait is watching out your inner voice, okay? What do you tell about it? What do you say to yourself? So are you a critic? Are you your biggest critic, or are you yourself, or are you your cheerleader? Okay? So there are someone, if anything that happened quickly, they already kind of like magnify that in terms of, you know, I'm so bad. This is worse. This is catastrophe, you know? And normally it continues. Or are you, in this way, you are actually feeding your anxiety. And that is a negative thought patterns. Yeah? So, or are you this person who said, okay, well, I have messed up, but I can fix this. And I just need to learn how to do whatever the case may be. And I think I'm going to do this again. So you understand, you are now using your rational thought to promote a feeling of control. and not panic. So, and all that shaped by your experience and what you focus on. So that self-talk is incredibly powerful. What you're saying to yourself, where does it coming from? It coming from an experience. It coming from, from beliefs. And what types of beliefs are those? Are those beliefs that I'm not good enough? Okay? Are those beliefs that I can't do that? So is it coming from a limited, belief of yourself? And that also leads us to the mindset. Or is it coming from, a limited mindset, a fixed mindset, as they said, or it's coming from a growth mindset? A limited mindset is like, So, and even taken, sometimes we even taken those people, oh, it's just like that. No, you're not just like that. You just believe that you're just like that. If it's a behavior, if it's a learned behavior, it can be changed. I'm just short-tempered. So that's something coming from somewhere. It's now you actually believe that you are fixed. You can't be changed. That's what is called now your a fixed mindset. You just see things in black and white. And then the problem with that is now when it comes now to when you're thinking that your life is not worth living, you also comes from it's also now you put it in the same way that it's either black or white. It's either I'm worth living or worthwhile, my life is worthwhile or not. And then at this point in time you see that it is not. So a growth mindset is something that, it's where that at this point in time I may not be able to do this, but if there are certain things I can change in my life, and you have learned that throughout your life. There are a lot of things that you have changed because of just a different perspective on life, your life changed. So you believe that you can learn and grow from challenges. That's a growth mindset. When you have grown mindset, a setback is not a final verdict on your abilities. It is a stepping stone. You build resilience, making you emotionally stronger, better, able to bounce back. So when life knocks you down, you learn from already what you. You realize that there's so much, wherever you are today, there's so much there will be nothing new in your life. If you're around 30-something, if you're around 20-something, there's nothing, there will be nothing new. Well, there could be maybe a new technology that comes that you never seen before. But I'm said, there's nothing you're going to experience you haven't experienced already. So, there's nothing, basically. So, you have gone through a lot already to have created the emotional tool, what I call emotional tool, that resilience, to have already created ability in dealing with those situations. The problem is that we don't recognize those, we don't pay attention to those ability. We more pay attention to, like maybe you said, I'm not good enough. You have now your fixed mind, your fixed mindset, and you believe that you cannot develop those skills. So definitely, if you believe you can't, definitely you won't. When you hear scripture says faith moves mountain, it's not necessarily a faith in God. It's a faith that if you believe in something, really truly believe, think of anything you have achieved in life. Anything that you have achieved in life, it's because you believe in it. First, you believe that it's true, or it's going to change your life, or whatever. There is some kind of conviction. And that conviction, imagine someone who believes that, okay, if I blow up myself, I become a martyr. If you're a Muslim, I become a jihadist or something like that. A just jihadist is that, you know, if I blow up myself, you know, for the just cause, you know, Allah would bless me. I'll become a martyr, whatever the case may be. All right. Just give an example. That's a conviction, whether right or wrong, has made someone to do something that is incredibly difficult to do. So, and it's exactly the same thing that happened to someone who actually going to think, who thinks that his life is not worth living, who want to end his life. It's because there's some kind of conviction that that's the case. So that's why that belief moves mountain. That belief brings a difference. And then, now and then, we then have to examine our beliefs. Eh? They can be fixed. Let's say, for example, they were talking about relationship now, quickly. So let's say, for example, you grew up as in, we all have stereotypes. The Bambos have stereotypes, Namas, Herero, Damaras, whoever, white, black, you know, we all have stereotypes. And it's not only in African culture, it's in any cultures. So the English have stereotypes against the Scottish have against, you know, French have against the English and everywhere. Eh? So now, let's say, for example, you grew up, those Shwambo speaking probably have, the Shwambo speaking have a stereotypes of the let's say for example the Namara, the Damaras or the Namas, or where we call them the Kwankaras. Okay, what that means is that it's people who never really, you know, how would I say it, who eat to finish, you know. So basically, literally, who eat to finish, you know, but, you know, they get something, all they think of is just eat it and finish it now. It's a stereotype. Okay? Doesn't mean that that's exactly the same. It's a stereotype. Now, you grew up to think that I can't, let's talk about in the relationship now. You grew up to understand that, no, I wouldn't want a Damara man or a Damara woman because this is the type of people they are as a stereotype. So what you have done, that kind of belief in itself, what does it do? It already prevents you in terms of how it already prevents you from getting into a relationship with a Damara, to know the Damara person. And the other way around is as well. There are other things that they also believe about. All right. So it already prevents you. That's a stereotype itself. It's a stereotype. It's a certain type of a belief. You believe that is the case, and therefore it determines how you feel. You don't even feel attracted to the person. You see how that determines your feeling either. Or think of even, let's get out of there. Let's even, if I ask you, what kind of a man or woman you're looking for? What kind of a man? You may have certain traits that you may, or characters that you're looking for. He should be tall, handsome, light complexions, what else? Intelligence. You can name all these things. So what does it mean? You get, your mind become fixed. So that's a fixed mindset. So, and that become problematic. Unless actually the person fit this, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm not going to feel that person. I'm not going to feel for that person. You understand? You fix your mind to a certain way. And when now these things are available, you see them, oh, tall, handsome, whatever, light complexions, seem to have money, you know? Then that's when now you feel that you're attracted. You fixed your mind to feel in your condition, your mind to feel for certain type of things. So it all comes, that becomes a belief, which now determines how you feel. Eh? So, and that's get us into trouble. That's get us into trouble. Then looking at from the outside, qualities, it realizes that this person doesn't love you. This is the quality you're looking for, but this person doesn't love you then. So what I'm trying to say is this, that the fixed mindset create a certain, in a way, you can already see the evidence of against what you're saying. This is what I want you now to think clearly. So, and through that process that you create, you build your emotional toolkit. You know, that would help. And actually, Mr. Franz also mentioned that, you know, as the people were telling him certain things that, you know, you are not this, you are not this, he realized that he actually started to do certain things that actually contradict that. So that actually, and changing even the environment, and he realized changing the environment that actually helped him to achieve certain things. You see, that's how you build your emotional toolkit. That's how you build your defense, the coping mechanism, not the defense, your coping mechanisms, you know? So that's a trait that we looked at. And the other one is also, you know, the recognizing that you have a degree of control over your emotional responses means you can take responsibility, take personal responsibility. Once you become a victim, you think that things are done to you. You don't take responsibility anymore. Once you lose that, you lose control, you lose that degree of control over your emotional response because you think that the way I feel is justified because this is what people are doing to me. All right? The way I want to end my life is justified. Eh? It is true. It's justified because this is how people are treating me. You know, it's because I don't have a job anymore. I'm worthless. People don't respect me anymore and all that. I think what I'm thinking is justified. So this is now empowerment, not blame. So one, take personal responsibility. So, and we looked at that, and then also the, and understanding that what situation or thought, you know, the understand that your personal triggers and emotional habit are actually the first steps. So, what are the personal triggers? What are things that actually trigger me behaving in a certain way? So, so acknowledge the real world. We also have to acknowledge that there are things that are happening to us. When I'm saying this, it's not just to say, well, there isn't a real world out there. There is a real world out there. So, like losing a job, dealing with health issues, you may be diagnosed with a terminal illness. You could have been through a financial stress. The financial stress are real. We talked it the other times. And they have a real impact on our emotions. That's real. That's true. So the goal is not to pretend. It's not to pretend that these things don't affect us. So the goal is to acknowledge the reality of the situation while using all these other tools to manage our internal response to it. You understand? So that we are not completely overwhelmed. So, where we don't just think that we are victim. All right? So, that's the point. So, because once you start to think that, you know, your life is over, it's over. You know? And once you start to think, I can get through this, you will get through that. So now, let's get into our second principle. I wanted at least to, what is the time already? 5 minutes to 12. Okay, let's get into our second principle, which is our emotional responses are shaped by our conditioning. All right? So one thing that we have to understand is that none of us none of you, none of me, is that English? None of me? No, it's not English. So none of us arrive in adulthood as a blank state, as a blank slate. Not state, a blank slate. Okay? We are a product of our upbringing. We are a product of our experience. We are a product of our culture. You understand? We are a product of that. So we were raised in a family where it was okay. Let's say, for example, where you raised in a family where it was okay to cry, for example. Or where you actually told, as I gave an example earlier, you know, hey, tokwe nandishi. I could denge ngo tokwe nanatango. I could denge mwenuta. You know, suck it up and be strong. So now, if you were told to suppress sadness, you might not know how to process it as an adult. So when now you're grown up, you may not even know how to process that sadness because you were told to suck it up. You were told to be strong. It may feel alien and terrifying, you know, something to be avoided at all cost. So that how you were brought up conditioned you in how you express that. And what about our society? So we live in a society. We live in a social media. So the social media condition us to believe that everyone else is living a perfect, happy, successful life. Just check anyone's status. So it conditions us that to believe that everyone is, you know, life is perfect. So we see these curated highlight reels and compare them now to our, you know, our messy life and behind the scene reality. So is it any wonder why we feel inadequate? We feel inadequate because we think that, whoa, everybody's life is perfect. So now we are conditioned to feel that way. So we conditioned to feel that everybody's life is perfect except ours. And what happened now? We start to feel miserable because I'm not actually as, my life is not as, you know, beautiful as someone's life. You see, that conditions you now to feel miserable. So, and then that, this conditioning create an automatic emotional habit. It create that emotional habit, that create automatic emotional habit. If a child, as a child, every mistake you made was actually met with severe criticism. Every time you made a mistake, you are criticized. A single error, as an adult now, a single error at work, let's say for example, a single error at work, it might trigger an overwhelming feeling of shame and failure. Just because that's how you are made up. That's how you are made up. That's how you are conditioned to think. It is not an overreaction. It is a conditioned reaction. And the reasons why I'm telling this, this is what I want now. I want to evaluate, self-criticizing, self-evaluation. That's what I'm looking for. So if I reacted in this way, especially in the way that made me feel distressed and sad, we come back after this.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
And here on Eagle FM, we are about you as well. And especially here on Mind Matters, We are here, really. We are about you. Anytime, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. If there's anything that struck you or something that you just want to add your comment or your view, please do so. Do come through anytime now. From now on, I will allow anyone who wants to come through at this point in time. So, 083-366-091, 08-08-333-66-091. That's the number to get to talk to me. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. As I always said, practical experience, your experience would help somebody. If you come and tell me, this is what I was going through, this is what I did, I can tell you someone is listening and maybe going through the same thing and say, aha, all right. Okay, this, I'm not the only one who actually going through this, because most people think that when they're going through something, you think that you are the only one going through this in the whole entire world. Just to realize that there are people actually going through more than what you're going through. So, and that's why it's very important for you. Come through, share your experience. I know this is not easy when you, I know this, you know, it's easy to talk about, you know, the economic struggle, what the government is not doing, what some other people, you know, employer is not doing, what, you know, that's easy. It's because it's far from us. It's not about us. You know, it's very difficult to talk about ourselves. And on top of that, to really get into ourselves. And this is where I'm trying to push you. I'm trying to push you to think you. Eh? To think how you think. Eh? Do I think right? That's a question. Do I think right? Do I feel right? And do I behave right? Eh? And that's become very, very important now, because quite often we're not behaving right. And therefore, if we are not behaving right, that means we are not thinking right. So, and this is where we're talking about that. We are conditioned. And then once you're conditioned, it is a conditioned reaction much of the time. All right? So, well, somehow, and is that we all, in some way, in a way, are trained. We are trained to feel certain things in a certain situation. Believe me, we are. We are very simple people. We only complicated in the way we think. Okay? Now, the way you feel, you're trained to feel that way. You trained, and sometimes, as I said, and I say this sometimes, we actually robotic in some way without even knowing that we are. You know? So, think of anything. Yes, the reasons why we think differently and feel differently, it depending where we come from. There are different units where we grew up. A home unit may make me feel differently from the other persons. That's the condition we are talking about, this unit. And then you come to a little bit a larger society, to a bigger society now. The society I'm in, you know, make me feel and think and feel in the different and behave in a different way. So, and that's totally different. Okay, let me give you an example. There are certain things in Europe that they do that you wouldn't do, isn't it? So in doing that, because anything that you do come from definitely can create emotion and the other way around. So emotion can influence how you do things, and what you do can influence how you feel. All right. So that could be a circle. You know, it goes both ways. So, and anything that you do comes from your beliefs, as we said earlier on. So, and your beliefs are conditioned by your society, your experience, and, you know, you're bringing up. You see? That's the conditioning that we're talking about. So you feel it's good because that's what you have been known. So if someone said, there are those who said, okay, I was the Sutus, for example. I studied with the Sutus in South Africa. They eat cat. And they look at the white person. We used to watch when we were watching TV and a white person have a cat as a pet. I said, wow, oh, this person are playing with food. They're playing with food and they feel like that the cat meat is even better than a chicken. You know, kind of like an argument. It's better than a chicken. So you, my feeling towards a cat is absolutely disgusting. Eating a cat. Do you understand? So why that is disgusting? It's because you're conditioned to feel that way by where you're coming from. Oh, let's get closer. Someone thinking of eating a dog. Those who here, maybe you have some people from maybe Herero Nama Dama Dama, thinking of the Vambu. Not all the Vambu eat dogs anyway. So then you think eating dogs was kind of like, that's really disgusting, you know? That feeling of feeling disgusting, where does it come from? It conditioned from what you believe a dog is. And that actually is conditioned by whatever teaching or whatever beliefs that has been created, that has instilled in your mind. So, do you understand that? And all come down to also thinking that, think, and that what I want you to be critical of what the way you think. Okay? Because sometimes the kind of emotion that you are in, it's because of the way you think. And that the way you think comes from your belief framework, your belief, a system. And when I'm talking of system, I'm talking of many things. I'm talking of how you brought up, what you taught in school, what you learn from your environment, your society, or what you learn from your religion, what your teacher says, what your pastor says, what your, you know, what your colleagues say, that believing system I'm talking about is what is what conditioned your reactions. All right? So where does this begin? As I said, well, for most of us, it started right from the moment we were born. The moment we were born, you know, a baby, you interact with your mom and dad, your family, the emotional climate of your home become your first classroom. Eh? It become your first classroom. And they don't disappear. They are captured because they protect you. Eh? So if you grew up in a house where every time you cried, you know, you were told, toughen up, stop being a baby. You might have learned deep down that sadness is a negative thing, something to be pushed away. So you were conditioned to suppress that. Most of us were conditioned to do that. But I also understand, I said, the reason why, so I also have you to understand where it's coming from. The reasons why that's the case, it was not actually, the whole point was not actually to suppress it for you in the way we understand it today, psychologically the way we understand it today. No, you were actually, as for a man, you were actually asked to suppress that because you don't have to show that among other men. So when you show, you know, you have to be tough because you have to survive in a very harsh environment. Eh? So life was different a little bit in terms of saying toughen up, it was to prepare you for your, when you're going to be among other men. That's how it was, you know, because if you are with other guys, you will push around, you become the punching bag for everyone. So that's why you were told to be toughen up. You know, if you want to be a man who are going to provide for your family, you have to learn to be hard. That was the, don't be too, okay, what is this? How can, that's what's the whole idea. Maybe wrong, but that was the whole, but it also did help in that regard, but it has also negative effect. So I want you to understand that, because sometimes we tend to blame certain way, but rather than looking at that, it has a purpose at that time. You know, you toughen you up to become a man. And we also have to understand in our African context, not the Western context. So, because even you have to think about how it was applied. How many actually men during that time have killed women? They love their women. They support their women. So, now compare that where now we were told. Compare now where we are being told. And I'm not saying this is wrong. This is what I'm encouraging you to do. Examine, be critical of your thoughts and emotions. Eh? Feel that. Because it's an expression of that, you know. So, but how is the way it was now, where we now looking at that, no, they suppress their emotion and what, how is that, that in that society they never killed women? But in this society where now we are asked to express and that, we continue actually to kill women. Or kill others. So that's the balance that we need when we're thinking, when we talk about this. And this is something I'm appealing to other, you know, professionals to understand, rather than actually just, you know, provide what the Western ideas, rather than understand our own way of thinking as well. So we move away from our family. It's not only our family. We step out in the world. We run straight into the rules of society. So once you come out of that unit, now you go into the bigger society. It has its own rules. Eh? And this is what we call socialization. Every culture has its own unwritten rules about which emotions are okay to show. So even if it's, even you as a woman, let's say for example, you as a woman, and if I come to you every time in an African way, not even only in African way, even if I come to you all the time as a man, and let's say, for example, I went to work and I come to you and complain, you know, my boss today said this to me and I really feel so sad. I was so sad my boss said this to me. There was this colleague of mine, let's say she's a female. She actually said this to me and it make me really feeling worthless, you know. How do you look at me? You kind of look at this guy. Are you a man? Definitely that comes even naturally. You would ask, are you a man? So that's why I'm saying that there's unwritten rules about which emotion are okay to show in a given society. Or let's say for example, there's a death in the family and you are now, as a man, you are the one who just you know, uncontrollably crying. Of course, initially people think, okay, this has really affected him. But if it goes on and on, it kind of like, come on, be a man. You can't be the one people bringing the water and they kind of take you there somewhere. And they can do it initially, that can happen. But over time, do you understand? And I'm not asking. What I'm saying is, understand the context as well. So, for instance, in many professional setting, okay, now showing up, showing open anger. Let's say you can't show open anger. Eh? Showing open anger might be seen as unprofessional. You cannot just actually stood up in a meeting and bust out, right? So what do? We learn to bite our tongue, you know, even if something that you, you bottle it up. Certain things, certain that person is saying, you know, saying certain things to you. And you just, okay, you bottle it up and maybe you channel it at, you channel your anger in a long run after work. So we are conditioned by social expectations. So you understand? And a huge part of this is simply learning. The other thing is simply learning by watching. So So you understand. And this is what I want you to examine about yourself. And believe me, certain things that you're now telling yourself may because you are conditioned by social expectation or you are conditioned by the way, of course, by the way you're brought up, but it's not always that what your way you're brought up is the right way. It doesn't mean it's the most, is the truth out there. It's a guideline for how you have to behave in the society, and it could be right. But if you are told that you shouldn't express your emotions, that might affect your relationship. So now, instead of being really open to your partner in terms of how you feel and you bottling it up, that then causes, and actually express yourself how you feel if a person is doing something, you never said anything, and in the end you kind of feel like, no, I had enough, and then what you do? You end up beating up the person, you end up killing up the person, but you never get a time where you were able to express yourself. Where does that coming from? It coming from how you were brought up. That, hey, stuff that. Stuffing up, man. So you see that in some way, it may have actually a negative impact on your relationship, even on yourself. Now you have high blood pressure, you have a heart attack, you have all this. Maybe you haven't done anything to the other person, but what happened to you? You have now physical health problem and psychological one. So, and they say, as I said, the other thing is when we're growing up, we are like emotional sponge. You know, a sponge that grab the whole, when you put it in the water, it suck up all the things. Especially as we were kid, we learn how to feel by observing the people around us. So, and I have a typical example one, you know. If you saw your parent panic every time a thunderstorm rolled in or something like that, chances are you might feel a little anxious when it comes to, you know, when it's get darker and it's want to rain and you hear those thunderstorms and things like that. I have someone who's like that. So apparently every time it started rain, they grew up, it's always like, okay, let's go and sleep. And even when he's an adult now, when it just started raining and you have all those thunderstorms, she said, let's go and sleep. She's actually a girlfriend of a cousin of mine. So your brain made a connection. Thunder equals fear. Or rain equals, this is a good time to sleep. You understand? It's just how you conditioned. It's become conditioned to that. And you never question that. And the other thing is also reward and punishment. I'm kind of trying to give you some things that help you to be conditioned, all right? I'm kind of looking at things, aspects that help you, that actually facilitate the conditioning. You know that classic reward and punishment system? And it is simple. This one is simple. If showing certain emotion gets you a positive result, okay? If it gets you a positive result, you are more likely actually to do it again, isn't it? So think of a child who gets a lot of attention and cuddles for being cheerful and happy. They learn that being happy gets them good things. And that's, even the children can be very manipulative. Every child knows that, okay, if I cry, this is what actually not normally happens. It's a conditioning. They realize that, okay, if I cry, I'm normally picked up. And this is what normally happens. So when you put them back, they would do the same thing because they feel that has become, this is what, you know, even in a child that doesn't speak, that is just get out of the womb 2 days or 3 days ago. So that becomes a condition. There are a lot of things that you become conditioned, you know, by your environment, by your experience, as you go on. So, and these are the things that I want you to. So you could be now conditioned by something that is not right. Like where you are conditioned to think, you're not good enough. There's something that tells you, there's something that makes you think that you're not good enough, that your life is worthless. There's something that makes you think that way. So you conditioned, and this is where now I want you always to kind of challenge that. Where is the evidence that I am that? That I'm not worthless, that I'm worthless, that I'm not good enough, that I cannot be able to do that. Much of our limitation is our condition. It's a conditioning that either a physical conditioning that we start to believe for ourselves, or able condition that we start to believe for ourselves, intellectual conditioning. So we can also think it in the other way around, okay? On the flip side, if you were constantly told you were being too dramatic, for example, when you were upset, so you quickly learn to dial those feelings down to avoid the negative feedback, because you don't want to feel like you don't want people actually give you a bad feedback. And you avoid that. There are people who avoid, you know, they always trying to be this now, you know, to attract this happy, this whatever, not to do mistakes, because they're now conditioned by, you know, by avoiding negative feedback. And we live in the world of constantly bombarded with messages from media and our culture, as I talked earlier, especially at the media. So movies and TVs, the shows are constantly telling us how we should feel. Today, if I ask you what is a sexy, you know, we now talk about a sexy person, you know, that's sexy. Who define sexy? Definitely is what you, if I ask you, you know, what is sexy, you're going to tell me something else. Something that the media, the TV shows or whatever, the movies, what tell you what it is. You become conditioned now. Now you feel that you're not sexy, because your body doesn't look like, you know, who are those? I don't even know who are referred to as sexies. No, I'm afraid if I say that, then my wife thinks that I think they're sexy. So I know, but I can't say it, because otherwise she will think that, okay, you think so and so is sexy. You see, I'm conditioned. I'm conditioned not to say. So you understand. So they show us that romantic love is supposed to be, you know, a non-stop happiness. So which really can set us for disappointment, because in real life that's not the case. In real relationship that's not the case. It's up and downs every day. It's up and downs. So we see the ads that tell us buying a certain product will make us feel confident and successful, or maybe buying certain car would make us confident and successful. In some way, this person may start to feel that they are successful. They feel confident. So confidence comes because as a consequence of as buying certain product, you understand? And then what happens? You become now, this is what you chase. So for you to become confident and successful is a result of buying certain product, is having certain car, having, you know, living certain life. So what happened? It's realized that it's actually difficult getting those. And you feel now that you are not successful. You are actually a failure, because you don't have the life that is deemed to be, because you don't have certain product. It's just a cell phone, which is actually a certain type of cell phone, just because you don't have that type of cell phone. You feel your life is not worth living. Whatever the case may be, you feel you are seen as if you're not confident, or you're not successful. So what do? Because you condition yourself now to run for these, and you run forever without achieving them. even if you get them, something come up that says, this is more, this is what make you more confident and successful. So what you had yesterday is no more what is actually confident and success, what make you confident and success. Something else came up. So you keep doing that nonstop. And you will never, ever be happy. First of all, you never be happy, you never be successful, because something new would come up all the time. And you happen to have now, you know, a Mac in the garage, a Land Cruiser in the garage, you know, a Lexus in the garage. But, you understand? But you're still not happy. You still not feel you're successful. So, and these portrayals ooze into our subconscious and shape our emotional expectations. This is what I'm trying to help you understand. They ooze into our, you know, they just into our subconscious. And sometimes you don't think about it. You just find yourself hopelessly running after things, you know, trying to fill that gap. And as I said, that's actually what shapes our emotional expectations. So, and the other things, the piece of this puzzle happened right inside our minds. It's all in our minds. All right? It's all in our minds, my friend. Okay? And that's where I'm trying to help you, you know, to go into that space. All right? Let's have quickly a music break. I've been talking for a while now. Yeah, let's have that Etana love song. I love this song. Etana, love songs. One of my favorite songs, actually. I love that song. So, and yeah, make sure that you play it again and just listen to the voice, to the relics, as it's you know, they bring out so much. Okay, beautiful, beautiful song. All right, and in that reggae music and that reggae rhythms, you know, it's absolutely incredible. Our time is about 32 minutes past the hour of 12. We go up to the hour of 1 o'clock. So please make sure that you come through if you want to contribute. If you want to engage me on some of this topic, 08333 66091, 08333 66091, live right here in the Ondangwa studio of Eagle FM. All right. So, and as I said, this is Mental Health Hours. And anytime if you would like to ask me or just talk to me or share your testimony or experience based on anything that we're discussing, you're most welcome to come through at any point. Just do that. So that's why we are here for, and that's why this platform has been created for you. To do that. So make sure that you make use of it. So otherwise we're taking away. Do you want us to take this away? Do you want us to take this away? Because I can decide not to come here anymore. All right. I can actually. Yeah. So, all right. So make that. No, we're not going to take it away. So I know you're listening and I know that you're taking something out of this. So, all right. So, as you can see, our emotions are incredibly complex. A blend of our true inner selves and a lifetime of conditioning from our family, from our society, and from our own experience. Okay? So, somehow we are conditioned, you know. In the way we feel, I mean, in the way we think, in the way we feel, and in the way we behave. All right? And the good news is the understanding. Now, understanding this is the first step to gaining more control of our emotional lives. So if we want to gain control of our emotional life, this is where we need to start. It gives us the power to ask, is this feeling, is this feeling really mine? It's a strange question to ask, but it's a powerful question to ask. Is this feeling is really mine? Or is it just what I was taught to feel? As we have seen from what we are discussing, so our emotion could come from what we were taught to feel. Is this judgment my judgment, or is it just what I was taught to think? Yeah? Is this belief my belief, or is it just the belief that I grow in? Yeah? So these are powerful questions. And what I want you that self-reflection. Before you make that decision, you know, before you make that decision, all right. So, yeah, so far we have spent less than hours or so exploring the heavy questions of how life's challenges can lead to feelings of complete despair. So, and we established that it is less about the event. What we have established with the first principle and second principle is that it is less about the event itself and more about our interpretation of it. All right? So that's how far we have gone. So I jump to this and this. It might be, you know, maybe it doesn't come together easily, but, you know, that's how far we've gone. And we discuss how that interpretation is often an automatic, that interpretation becomes an automatic, that if remember that now that you, when you are now, it becomes an automatic because you are conditioned. Eh? So, okay, it becomes, you know, that interpretation has become an automatic or a conditioned response. We have learned. So a conditioned response we have learned from our family, from society, from our experiences also. So because what you become, what you experiences becomes beliefs, become expectations. And that actually become the foundation or the source of your interpretation. So certain things you don't think anymore because they become automatic in you. Okay? So if you like the taller guys, if a short guy say, hey, you don't even listen, it becomes automatic. So that interpretation of, I don't like the short guy, become automatic in you. So you understand? You don't even question it now. You don't even think about it now. You don't even think about it. You think that's just me. That's what I like. Eh? So there are certain type of food that you just like, maybe, yeah, because of the taste of, or sometimes you say, I can't eat a snake. Where does it come from? If you say somebody, that's a snake. It just comes from where you actually, because from the, as I said, from the society, from the family, from experiences, you know, you are told that's not a good thing. Oh, no, no snake, no. But in some cultures, ooh, snake is a delicacy. Yeah? So your response is conditioned. Yeah. Now, what I want you to bring it down, I'm giving you the broader process in your mind, in the way how you behave. And so I want you now to bring that, to narrow that now to one thing. To one thing, the topic that we're talking about. Why? How life challenges can lead to feeling of a complete despair, of despair, where you're feeling that my life is not worth living. Where does that coming from? So, is this the same question that we're asking? Is this my, is this what I'm thinking? Or is it just because I'm conditioned to think in that way? Morning, madam. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine. Yes, it's true that sometimes what we confess,
yeah,
is what we get.
Yeah.
So especially in terms of, we really believe that, yes, I'm a failure, like you said from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm also a failure. So you become a fairy, actually.
Exactly.
So this is actually what you are confessing. And then your manifestation is toward that.
Yeah, because your whole mind and your subconscious will try to manifest what you're confessing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important that if you allow the thought of suicide, if you allow any thought that is negative, you will definitely get what you are actually confessing.
Yeah.
So that is sometimes very understandable in the spiritual arena.
Yeah.
So people who are not religious enough or who are not spiritually awakened, they may not understand what you are saying. And it's very important like you say, it's professional counseling, just to even any other structure that one can follow to share their experience, their bitterness and things like that, and they really need help. So we are so met in here, and we just confess, no, I cannot do anything. I am not a good person. Just know it's Moses who was saying, was it Moses who was saying he was a stammerer?
Yeah.
And God said, no, don't do that. And then so it becomes something else, used by God. So many a times we are really having problems in society. People are committing suicide, men are committing suicide, and everyone anyway.
Yeah.
But men are the most victims.
Yeah.
Because our confession is so negative.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything, we cannot able to overcome this problem. this other so these other things.
And you become what you confess. What you focus on. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the way of attention. You know, that's why God sometimes he gives us this primitive will.
Yeah.
You do what you want because you are actually the one who wants that. But if you say no, God say I shouldn't commit suicide, I shouldn't do this thing. And then you obviously will give you the strength and the grace to overcome that.
Yeah.
Mm. But the moment we confess negative, I think that paralyzes all our thinking, our good intention.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity.
No, thank you for coming through, Angabona.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Yeah. Basically that's as wherever you focus, wherever your mind is, that's where you are. that's saying that wherever your mind is, that's where you are. That's where you are. And be careful. And what we're saying, that's a powerful thing that you have. There are a lot of things that's happening, you know. There's a lot of things that is happening that you're not even aware of with yourself. and as I said, when you focus on something, your body, your machine, you are a machine that is really highly that sophisticated equipped. You're really sophisticated. I don't know how I put it. You're really equipped sophisticatedly. So, I have to go and anybody send me money to go and buy English because it's I'm getting short of it. All right. So you are very suffocated. Your mind is very suffocated. You as a person is very, very suffocated. You're not a simple being. And then something that what you really need to understand is that, and the point also maybe that Uncle Bon is also alluding to is that where you focus, where your mind is focused, that's where you be. That's what you become. Eh? So that's what we become. So sometimes when you just start to think I'm useless, okay, I'm not capable, I'm not so. And as I said earlier, this, and I said many times, you know, when you say this, your subconscious, it doesn't think that's a negative thing. It doesn't differentiate whether that's positive. That's your conscious, and your conscious now is telling you to say, I'm a failure, I'm worthless. That's now your conscious. You are now being conscious saying I'm a failure. So because this is now the part of your mind that make a difference. Your subconscious doesn't. What it does, it actually bring into being what your conscious is asking. You know? It's bringing into being what your conscious is asking. So that's the thing. And be careful whatever you say to yourself, where you focus on, that's what you become. We will continue after this.
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry, you can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Well, just do that. It's your civic right. It's disappointing. People are not registering. So it's something that came up from the election, what the EC and the other time. So, yeah, go and vote. Go and register, please. So that's actually, it's a civic right that you should be able to do it if you want to live in a democratic country. All right. So for the most important part of our conversation, if we are conditioned to react this way, all right, Are we just stuck? Are we stuck then? The answer is a resounding nope, we are not. And that brings us now to the principle number three. Your emotional response is 100%. Is 100% your control. It's in your control, 100%. And again, let's be careful here. So this does not mean that you can stop feeling sadness. All right? It does not mean you can't feel anger, you can't feel angry, you stop having fear. So those are human emotions. All right? Those are human emotions. So what this means is that, okay? What this means is that you can control your response. You can decide how long you let emotion actually drive the car. Eh? If I can use that figure tree. So imagine your emotion is a passenger in your car. Let me give you that kind of this. Imagine your emotion is like a passenger in your car. Take it away from you. A loud panicky passenger. Eh? There's someone who is always panicking, okay? When something bad happens, that passenger might scream, "We are going to crash! We're going to die! You know? Eh? It's all over!" Eh? Now, you can't silence the passenger. You may not silence the passenger, but you, the driver, can choose to say, "Well, I hear you. I know you are scared, but I'm still the one in control here. I am the one on the wheel. So I will get us, you know, I will get us through this. So I will get us through this safely." So you see the difference. Yes, this gonna come and that's gonna come. Those thoughts, those emotions, they will flood. They will actually flood you. Eh? But that act of acknowledgement, acknowledging the feeling without letting it take over, that is control. That is control. So that's a practice of mindfulness, all right? So, and I want you to listen to me carefully here, because I may say this in a very complicated way. So, now, it is creating a pause, you know, a pause between the trigger and your reaction. All right? It causes that, it's creating that pause between the trigger and your reaction. So, in that pause, you find now your freedom. That's where now you find your freedom. You find the power to choose a different thought. You can now be able to choose a different thought, a different story, or a different path forward. You know? So that gives you that moment. That moment gives you now where you can be able to think differently. Or have a different story, or, you know, choose a different path. So how do we do it? How do we do it? So how do we practically reduce the impact these events? How do we reduce the impact of this event that have on us and start taking control of that response? Let me give you some actionable step, okay, that you can take. So as we come in towards the end of the show. So now, the first thing, so become a thought detective. So become a thought detective. So what do you do? Start paying attention to your self-talk. Much of the time, you talk yourself into this. You never be alone. You have never be alone. You're always not alone. You always talk to yourself. So when you fail at something, so what is the first thing that you say to yourself? When you fail at something, "I'm such an idiot." You see, maybe that's the first thing that comes to you. Is it, "I'm such an idiot," or is it, "Okay, that didn't work. What can I learn?" So you see the difference from last Saturday when we talked about a same event can happen to two people and this is how the two people react to it. So which one is you? Is it the one who's saying, "I'm such an idiot," Or are you the one who said, okay, that didn't work. What can I learn? And these are the people who make actually a difference. The later is that the people who make a difference in life. People who change our life. Who actually invent things are people who said, okay, that didn't work, but what did I learn? What can I learn from that? And then they improve. The comfort life that you have, it comes from the people who think, okay, that didn't work. What can I learn? Not the one who said, I'm such an idiot. Eh? And then they become depressed and, you know, they end up, you know, doing nothing. They end up now limiting themselves to do anything because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to fail. So when you catch yourself catastrophizing, as they said, so you need to challenge that. Yeah? When you catch yourself saying, I'm an idiot, challenge it. Ask yourself, what is more realistic outcome? Yeah? What is one small step I can take right now? Those are some of the things. So rather than actually, I'm such an idiot. Even when I say challenge it, what are the evidence that I'm an idiot? Yes, I have failed here, but have you been failing all the time in your life? Maybe you can think, oh, yes, it has been, but because you're focusing on that. So what is one small step if you are in this situation, if you are in this kind of things, what is one step I can take right now? Just a small one. You don't need to take, you know, make major changes. Just one step. Yeah? Now, the second thing, we're talking about mindset earlier. Cultivate a growth mindset. Yeah? A fixed mindset. My abilities are set in stone. That means a failure proves that I'm not good enough. That's what it means. Failure proves that I'm not good enough. So in a growth mindset, say, I can learn and grow. That's what it means. I can learn and grow. And failure is just a feedback. It is a feedback. And in actual fact, it's a feedback. And actually, and this simple shift changes everything. That's just a shift that you need to change when you think my life is not worth living. Yeah? Is it not at this point in time, I may not be able to do what I want to do. Yeah? So, but I can learn and grow. So that simple shift changes everything. It's not some kind of a miracle that you need today. It's a mental. So, and one, that simple shift makes that the challenge is no longer a threat. It is an opportunity. It is an opportunity. And this is what, that's the mindset that I want to see. And thirdly, practice emotional regulation. Do you remember the pause I talked about? The pause. This is the pause now I was talking about. The pause button we just talked about. Okay? When you feel that we have, when you feel that wave of emotion coming, try a simple technique. Yeah? A simple technique. For you, maybe that works, whatever that works well. Think of that when you are, even when you're about to make a presentation. So what is that, the pause button? That's just breathing, maybe take three deep breathing. Deep, slow breathing. That's the pause button. And in that already, it tells you, man, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. So, not that reactionary response. Okay? Don't actually feed the anxiety. No? Now you're looking, oh, look at how, remember the interpretation that we're talking about? Oh, everybody's looking at me, and have I dressed properly? You are feeding the anxiety. Eh? And I can tell you, when you go there, you're going to mess up. Because now you started to think you are nervous, you are whatever, and then that you actually projecting it to the people, and then, of course, they see that in you, and everything doesn't go right. So ground yourself. Feel your feet on the ground or on the floor. So this little tiny actions can give you a rational brain, just enough to time, you know, just enough time to come back online and choose a more constructive response. All right? And then the other thing is also take personal responsibility. Take personal responsibility. This is not about blame. It's about empowerment. All right? It's about empowerment. It is saying, I cannot control the storm. I cannot control what is happening. But I am responsible for steering up, you know, for steering my own ship. Eh? It is a declaration that you are not a passive victim of your circumstances. Understand that. You are not a passive victim of your circumstances or your feelings. You are an active participant in your own life. And that's what I want you to be. So, and limit exposure. Now, limit also then exposure to triggers. All right? If a certain situation consistently leads to negative emotion, consider minimizing your exposure to them. Get yourself out of that environment. And this was actually clear by what Mr. Francis said the other time. He get out of that circumstances. He get out of that environment. So limit your exposure to the trigger that actually lead to negative emotion. So, because in life we can't avoid challenges. We cannot avoid challenges, but you can choose how you engage with them. You can choose how you engage with them and set boundary to protect your emotional well-being. You can be able to do that. And understand that you have that power. That's why the third principle, that your emotional response is 100% in your control. Seek also support. Seek social support. We are support. We are social being. Talk to friends, family, mental health professionals. You know, they can provide a valuable perspective. Sometimes you just need a different perspective. Sometimes you just need that emotional support. Sharing feelings with others can help alleviate that burden. Sometimes that burden where you think just, I'm the only one in this world. I'm the only one who's feeling this way. So it can alleviate that burden and also provide a sense of connections. We are connecting. We are connected people. All right? And the other very important thing is also practice self-care. You know, prioritize self-care activities that bring joy and relaxation. Sometimes, some of you work too much. Eh? You will live life. Life you will live it as it is. Eh? Okwati no tondokera. Itu pataga. Eh? You will live as it is. I'm not saying do what you need to do to live, to survive, but you know, self-care, take care of yourself. Sometimes, you know, you can only be able to take care of others if you yourself are okay. Yeah? And this must include doing exercise, spending time with, you know, some people, if you find nature as, especially those you guys that lives in town. Yeah? Some of us, the reason why we move to villages, we want to be closer to nature, eh? To be closer to the chicken and to the goat, and you know, eh? When you wake up and you hear boo, yeah, then you feel yeah, that's it. Now practice some hobby or simply getting enough sleep. Make sure that you get enough sleep. Look who is talking. Now, that's something I you know. Now, what I'm telling you is getting some enough sleep. Maintain a balanced diet. Yeah? So, all those are the things that take care of yourself, man. Now, and this is probably what I would say also, then focus on what you can control. There are so many things that we most, studies have shown that 85%, I don't know, not 80% of things that we focus on actually have nothing at all, have nothing to do with us. Only 20% things that we focus on has things to do with that. Most of 80% has nothing to do with us. Yeah? Concentrate your energy on the aspect of a situation that you can influence. And this is what you need to judge. Think always, what can you influence? Certain things you can't influence at all. Yeah? Don't be worked up. Be concerned about life. What is happening in Gaza, what is happening in Sudan, what is happening in DRC, or be concerned. But don't be worked up that it causes you a high blood pressure. Because you have no way you can influence that. You know? Let go of trying to control things that are beyond your reach. That's what brings you all that. As this can really reduce a feeling of helplessness, you know? So remember that managing negative emotion is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process that requires practice and patience, all right? Practice and patience. So by implementing these strategies that I spoke to you, you can build resilience and you can also develop a healthier relationship with your emotion. This is what I want. I want you to develop a healthier relationship with your emotion, allowing you to navigate, you know, challenges with greater emotional well-being, you know? So if your negative emotion persists or become overwhelming, then consider seeking a professional help, you know, from a therapy, from a counselor, from someone who can be able to help you professionally. Well, that brings us to another exciting episode of Mind Matters. I hope you have learned something. And I wish you a beautiful afternoon, a beautiful Saturday afternoon. The Premier League is back. We are not bored anymore. And, especially most of us. So, yeah. And all the best. May the best win. May the best team win the season. All right? The league this season. So, yeah. All right. Let me say goodbye to you and leave you in the hands in a beautiful, beautiful, in a capable, beautiful hand. I haven't seen the hands, but I believe it's beautiful. Capable hands of the matriarch of Elizabeth. The coming up is Elizabeth World. Please remain connected to Eagle FM, or what you can do, then download the app if you want to remain connected to Eagle FM. If where you are, the frequency is still not available. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM to remain connected and being able to listen to your favorite program, especially the one that is coming up. It's also my favorite. I'm going to remain connected. So until Monday, when we're going to unpack what is happening in and around our country. Goodbye for now and a very great afternoon. Ooh, yeah.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah. Real love, shawty G-Dub. Got me bugging, I don't think that I can leave her. Let them hate, they ain't getting in between us. All this Gucci matching Gucci or your sneakers.
And everything that we do stays between us. So when we touching different loving, be my teacher. You hold me down, this ain't your crease, but you my piece, yeah. Take out your weave and make you smart and give you D, yeah. I'ma give my all, I'ma give my all, yeah. Even when you sleep, you still looking good, yeah. Take you out to eat, cause I know you the truth, yeah. Freak up in the sheets, we don't use no wood, yeah.
And this shit ain't cheap, it's my lifestyle. Just step out of the shower, I be like, wow. This is so good, girl, I might drown. When I get in the sheets, she made the right sound.
She don't even care about design.